You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
In Green Bay, despite what happened last night. It's Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN. My friends, do yourself a favor. Be a part of ESPN Radio Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Hey, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers straightened it out last night after getting absolutely thoroughly bombarded and embarrassed by the New Orleans Saints last week. And everything's right with the world. Dear God, it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get involved in the show early at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hey, he threw for four touchdowns last night as the Packers quieted their critics with a bounce-back effort against the Detroit Lions. Shh, don't criticize them. The Lions, they took care of them. Never mind that Aaron Rodgers' career quarterback rating, and it's true, I looked this up just a few minutes ago. Against the Detroit Lions, career quarterback ranking, rating, 510.7. I don't know if you knew that. It's absolutely accurate. So after a week of hearing about whether or not he gave 100% or really, truly cared, Aaron came out after the game and decided to go right after it and have fun with the media in his own cute way. Here he is.
I just was going to ask the comment you made about trying to show you like you cared a little bit more. Did it look, obviously you cared last week, but do you feel like it looked like you didn't last week? Is that kind of what you're implying?
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
Did the national conversation irk you over the past week? Did it bother you? Obviously, you were aware of what was being said about caring.
I'm aware of it because of Tom. Tom keeps me aware of these things. I think that there's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out and have a good performance and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
What does that even mean? First of all, the fact that you're going to say, well, I'm aware of it because Tom tells us. Tom, I'm assuming, is one of the PR people for the Packers, and he lets me know what's going on because I don't pay attention to a word of it. You're full of garbage. Of course you pay attention to it. You love the attention. That's what you've always been about. That's what you've shown yourself to be about this entire offseason. So if you want to sit there and go after it and say, yes, we care, obviously it was silly for me to even for people to even suggest that I don't care about winning and losing, that's fine. But you can just come out and say it instead of having to do it in your own little way. And I just like people like to say a lot. I just think people like to say a lot of blank. Yeah, well, you're one of the people who likes to say a lot of blank. You know, I can't take it when you have someone that causes drama to begin with and then turns around and blames everybody else for the drama. It's like when you watch teenage guys and girls that just say, I can't deal with the drama. But in actuality, your lifeblood is the drama. That's what Aaron Rodgers is all about, the attention and the drama. And last night, he played so much better, and good for him. But this is going to be a theme throughout the course of the year. People will look at how he responds, and yes, they will read into every little part of his answers, because that's how Aaron has set up the season with everything from the offseason, with everything he said in training camp. That's how he has presented this and set up the season. He has left himself wide open to be interpreted by everybody, even more so now than ever before. And it's great that he went out there and threw four touchdowns and 255 yards against the Detroit Lions. if I'm a troll, I'm not off your back yet. And I mean, I've been told I resemble a troll. That's fine. But I'm not off your back when I look at what you have coming and what I've seen so far. And I try to evaluate it and say, look, this might be a different team come the middle of the year. But this does not look like a group that is a bunch of world beaters, to tell you the truth. It's really not. One thing about his play, before I get to where they're headed, that did bother me, and this is not nitpicking. I'll be the first to tell you when I am, this is not nitpicking. He took 3 sacks last night. And if you watch where he took the sacks, how he took the sacks, that was alarming to me. He took the sacks in the fashion of a player that is interested in not getting hurt. That is, we have seen Tom Brady and Eli Manning over the years go down, accept the sack, and just kind of curl up and protect themselves. And you get that. Because Tom Brady and Eli Manning, it was never a part of their game to be evasive in the backfield. So when you're trying to extend a play and you're those two players, you're those two quarterbacks, you understand where your abilities are limited to do that. A massive part of Aaron Rodgers' game is to extend plays, is to make a lot of plays out on the run. There was a hesitancy to go and do that in those sack situations last night. Now, granted, they were in the backfield relatively quickly. It wasn't just shut it down from the get-go. But it was, I'm not moving around outside the pocket to try to make a play and put myself in a bad position. That was not the same Aaron Rodgers on some of those plays that we've seen throughout the course of his career. Let's be clear about that. He was not moving around to try to extend plays. And I have to think it's only human nature to believe that a big part of that is trying to avoid getting hurt. Because he's not thinking about this year. He's thinking about the long term. I get it if that's not a big part of your game, like Brady, like Manning. But for Rodgers, it's been a massive part of his game for the entirety of his career. And it's not like he doesn't still have escapability in his game. He does. There were just a couple of times last night where I'm going to eat it right here and go down. And then there's what lies ahead. If the Packers are going to be a team that actually contends and tries to go to the Super Bowl this year, they're going to have to stack some wins here pretty soon. It's going to have to come in the next month and a half. Because by the end of October, you're going to see a stretch begin that goes all the way through Christmas that is running the gauntlet. Completely running the gauntlet. How so? I'm just going to run it down real quick. A couple of games that before may not have looked so tough, now they tend to take on a different tone to them. End of October, it starts with a trip to Arizona, followed by a trip to Kansas City, then Seattle at home, at Minnesota, the Rams at home, the Bears, at Baltimore, home for Cleveland. Holy crap. Every one of those non-division games is very much a losable game for the Green Bay Packers. So there are not many missteps that they can have between now and the end of October. And oh, by the way, the next 2 weeks, they've got a trip to San Francisco and then Pittsburgh at home. Now, they can beat Pittsburgh. I don't know if they're going to San Francisco and winning there. I don't know if we can see that. I think the Packers this season may not be what he expected it to be. And last night, even though he's talking about getting the trolls off our back, really did nothing to get the trolls off your back, in my estimation, because you beat the Detroit Lions. Welcome to the NFL. Alabama can beat the Detroit Lions. Stop. Just stop. Shift over to the NBA with some news today breaking from Woj. And in case you're unaware, here's what it is. According to sources, Philadelphia 76ers All-Star Ben Simmons will not report for the opening of training camp next week and intends to never play another game for the franchise. Ben Simmons hasn't spoken to the team since late August when they had a meeting when he communicated this message to Sixers officials. He is clearly aware of the sanctions available to the organization to fine and suspend him, including withholding salary. But so far, Simmons appears willing to carry out a plan of forcing his way to a new team. The Sixers have yet to find a trade that they're willing to make for him. Ben Simmons is not a championship player in any way. He is the ultimate diva in this league, so much so that Kanye looks at Ben Simmons and says, "Really, bro? I mean, come on." There's more than a little bit entitlement to a player who has accomplished absolutely nothing in his career. Nothing. Let's take a brief look at the history of Ben Simmons through the last 5 years. Brief. He gets drafted by the Sixers. He goes to Philly. He breaks a bone in his foot during training camp. A little bit past halfway through the first year, through his rookie season, he could have come back and played. He didn't. Joel Embiid was playing his first full season after missing the first 2 years of his career, so there was the opportunity there for the two of them to get some time together down the stretch of that year to mesh so they could hit the ground running the next year. Simmons, nope, I'm not playing. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Ben Simmons had a $5 million bonus from Nike if he was rookie of the year. And because he would only be playing less than half a season, he couldn't win rookie of the year. So he wanted to sit out the entire year just to make sure he was still going to get that bonus. Congrats, Ben. Okay. You might say it's $5 million. The Sixers were going nowhere. I get it. All right, that's fine. Then you think about the fact that this is a point guard who is supposed to be on the elite level, and he is an elite passer, and he's a very good rebounder. Obviously, at 6'11", you better be a rebounder. People want to use the word unicorn. You can use it. It doesn't apply. It applies more to somebody like Joel Embiid than it does to Ben Simmons. Think about this. In his career, he has never shot better than 62% from the free throw line as a point guard. And in his career, he is 5 of 34 from three and didn't make a three-pointer in his first two seasons. You know, it's funny. If you follow him on social media during the offseason, you see an awful lot of videos that show him in the gym making jump shots. You know what you can do with video? You can edit it. And that's what he's doing. Look at me. I'm working so hard to get better at my game. I'll show you the video of me making three jump shots, and you'll see that I'm getting better. You know, Lonzo Ball, during the exact same time period, was an awful free throw shooter and an awful shooter early in his career. He went from 45% from the line to 78% this past year. His jump shooting got infinitely better. Why? It's called attacking weaknesses. It's called getting better as a player. It's called not being worried about looking bad. Like Ben Simmons is consistently worried about looking bad. But we've got those Instagram videos, so we're good. And now we got TikTok to put them on too. And then this year, the most crucial year you could argue of his career. The Sixers with opportunities all over the place. You know, they got beaten by the Raptors a couple of years ago on just a fluke shot by Kawhi Leonard. Game 7, second round against the Hawks, under the basket, afraid to dunk the basketball. Why? Afraid to get fouled from behind and look bad on the free throw line. Afraid, afraid, afraid. A coach who last year defended you at every possible turn and enabled all of your awful behavior on the court to never get better, couldn't even call you a championship point guard after that game. He couldn't even look the media in the face and lie. That's how bad it was. So let's recap, shall we? He is a player that has never had any interest in getting better in the areas where he is weak, has been about him from day one, has been playing with one of the most gifted physically players to ever play the game. The two of them together should have won multiple championships. Aside from injury, you couldn't have two more perfect players to play together if Simmons was even remotely interested in learning how to shoot. But no, couldn't make that work. Everybody knows what your weaknesses are, yet you have absolutely no concept of yourself other than to say it must be somebody else's fault. Get me out of here. What is anybody supposed to do to defend you publicly when you stand under the basket in crunch time with the basketball and you're 6'11" and you are afraid to dunk it because somebody might foul you? You know what you are at that point? A losing basketball player. You're a losing basketball player. You are going to fill up the stat sheet, and it's going to look beautiful. And you are going to make some of your highlight reel passes that probably are going to get sold as NFTs and Pop Shot, and I'm sure you'll make a lot of money that way. That's great. Fantastic. What you're never going to do is win. Ben Simmons will never win a championship in the NBA. Unless he actually changes and decides, I have to attack what I'm bad at instead of focusing on what I'm good at and making it look even better. It is the most selfish attitude that you can possibly have. And now he wants out. And in the middle of it all, my friends, tells the 76ers, my trade value is not my problem. That's your problem. Actually, no. If you want to get traded, you should want somebody else to want you. And right now, nobody is willing to give up anything good for you, Ben. Why? Because of everything we just said. It perfectly encapsulates it. So yes, your trade value is just a reflection on the player that you are. How does that not strike you? How does that not come across? Your trade value is not good because you don't want to improve. Because you want to keep doing things your way. Because you want to make the highlight reel pass. But when it comes to hitting a free throw to win a game, no, no, no. Somebody else do that. Stop. Give me Lonzo Ball 10 times a day over Ben Simmons. I don't care what the talent says. One guy I know has weaknesses and has attacked him consistently and has always gotten better. I'll go to war with that guy because I know he's got talent and I know he wants to win. Stick with the Kardashians, Ben. Honestly, it's where you're best off, right? Because it feels like you're taking this move out of their playbook. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. I got to hear from you on Ben Simmons. Would you want Ben Simmons on your team? Do you think he's a championship player in any way? And is this going to end well for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? Am I wrong, or is Aaron Rodgers becoming one of the most unlikable players in the entire NFL? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What if you could put the same type of rigor that pro leagues use for players into your hiring process? Well, guess what? You can. You can do it when you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. And you can invite your top choices to apply for your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. Up next, your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, and my weekly power rankings. There has been some shifting, shall we say, over the last 48 hours. That's in moments. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio.
The biggest season ever.
OBJ's coming off an ACL. He's got a lot to prove on that injury.
The very latest news, analysis, and plenty of opinions.
I think he'll be an important part of the offense. Big year for him.
And it starts weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. In 3 minutes, our Week 3 NFL Power Rankings. Right now, your calls on Ben Simmons at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio. Dr. J in Virginia is up first. My guess would be it's not the real one, but here he is to start us off on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What up, Dr. J?
What's going on? Not the real one, but I love your show. Appreciate what you're doing. You make my drive a lot easier.
Thank
but
you.
I wanted to weigh in on the Ben Simmons, and I thought it was interesting because you grouped it with Aaron Rodgers shorts to follow thereafter. But I wanted to kind of come from a different angle because you have guys like Ben Simmons and Aaron Rodgers, then you have guys like Kobe Bryant, Russell Westbrook, Michael Jordan, and then you compare these guys, and then the basic difference is mentality because you have this killer instinct in the elite, and then you have other guys who kind of crumble or maybe transform under the pressure of the industry and the media and everything that's going on. My question to you would be, do you think that it's part of Ben Simmons' response that it's basically above the shoulders? Is not really something that's a part of what he's capable of as an athlete, because obviously he's a freakish athlete. I think he's a great player, but I think he's kind of crumbling under this pressure from the industry and media.
I don't know if it's crumbling under the pressure. I think it's more that he has always relied on that incredible talent, and thanks for the call, and that has carried him everywhere. And as a result, when you are great at something, you want to keep being great at it, but when you are not great at another aspect of it, you stay away from it as opposed to attacking it. Champions attack it. Guys who are stat fillers on losing basketball teams, they don't worry about that. They avoid it, and they worry about looking good. Cam is in New Orleans up next on ESPN Radio. Cam, what do you got?
Hey, first off, I want to say thanks for all you do. Thanks for the show. I'm active in the military, and I listen to the show when I'm on duty, overseas, et cetera.
I appreciate that. Never forget them, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate you for that. So Ben Simmons, DJ has made a really good point about being above the head. Looking at the situation, I honestly think Ben Simmons is going to regret this for the rest of his career. I think it's going to be kind of a Kobe Shaq moment where 10, 15 years from now, he's looking back on what could have been with Joel Embiid. I don't know if I would say he's not on Kobe's level as far as the skill set is concerned, but everything else is there. I'm interested to know your perspective on what they can really, the Philadelphia 76ers can realistically get for Ben that'll put the Sixers in a position to win. Because obviously with Joel Embiid and his knees, it's win now for him. But I just don't see them getting anything in return. And honestly, I think this will probably be the end of Joel Embiid in his prime. And he won't ever win a championship because of this either.
I don't know about that. Thanks for the call. Joel Embiid wanted to keep Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia. And Ben Simmons didn't love Jimmy Butler at all. Now, there were absolutely two factions on whether or not Butler was a winning player that would fit well with Embiid, or was it a lot of eyewash with Jimmy Butler? Look, I'll take him on my team. And he's somebody that I think has a good deal of toughness to him. And there may be a lot of it put out front, but that's fine. I would rather have somebody like that on my team if I were Joel Embiid at this point. What they can get, I'm going to be honest, I have no idea where that is set right now. Like, there was talk in the offseason about whether or not it was going to be possible to get Dame Lillard in that kind of a deal. No, that's not happening. You're not getting Dame Lillard. Are you getting CJ McCollum? I don't even know at this point. Probably, but I don't know at this point. And perhaps the bigger question, based on what he just saw, and based on the fact that Dame Lillard's a point guard, does he want to play with Ben Simmons? I don't think Ben is going to so easily move into the front court and be a point forward so willingly, no matter who he's playing with. All around, this playbook that he is using is so mistaken. And there is just a massive alteration required for Ben Simmons' mentality to actually become a player in the NBA that can win a championship. NFL power rankings right now, week three, my friends. Last week, yeah, I surprised some people. That's okay. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not Ben Simmons when it comes to my NFL power rankings. No. No, I'll attack my weaknesses. I'll work to get better. Top five. We start at number five. We start with those Arizona Cardinals. I don't care that it was because of a missed kick. No. What I saw was Kyler Murray, 400 yards. The guy is an MVP candidate right now. The Cardinals are 2-0. I think they're better defensively than maybe they're giving credit for. They're not great, but they're a little better. And Murray has the chance to carry this team to do some really good things this year. Number four, the Buffalo Bills. I can't move them up because of who is in front of them. They started in week one, you'll remember, at number two in the league. The Bills are still winning a Super Bowl. At the end of the year, they will be number one. Right now, they are number four after thumping the Miami Dolphins the other day. But they stay at number four after week two, here in week three. Number three, still the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost by a point. And it's not a knock on the Ravens. Overall, are the Chiefs a better team than the Baltimore Ravens? Don't lie to yourself. Don't look at yourself in the mirror and see Ben Simmons. No, you know it's true. You know it's true. You know that the Chiefs are better. Number two, the Rams. Wasn't pretty. No, it wasn't pretty. But they went on the road and they won in a not so easy environment. And they're 2-0. And they are the biggest threat in the NFC to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who remain number one. I will start to look forward to see if there is a genuine shot, and I believe there will be. Once we hit around week 8, 9, 10, of them potentially going undefeated this year. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is Ben Simmons a championship player? Can he be a championship player? Or is he just a stat sheet filler? Tune into an NL West battle tonight. The Padres, they're hosting the Giants. Coverage begins 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Aaron Rodgers is really becoming more and more unlikable every single day. Up next, though, there is an exceptionally intriguing possibility or suggestion in college football for the next coach of USC. Trust me when I tell you, one prominent former Trojan has got an idea that you're going to want to hear. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. The next coach of USC? This one's a spicy meatball. Next on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn Johnson.
They don't want to forfeit games based on your beliefs.
Jay Williams.
From knowing Justin Fields, I think his mindset is better when he's thrown to the wolves.
And now, Max Kellerman.
Trevor Lawrence, it looks like he's the guy struggling the most with the speed of the NFL.
Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. This is ESPN Radio.
Reggie Bush has got an outstandingly impressive suggestion for the next head coach of the Trojans. And I say outstandingly impressive because it's an amazing sports radio topic, but it's not even a good idea. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If there's a game somebody's betting on, it streams Season 2 of Better Days, the Mike Greenberg-hosted series that brings the true stories of the unforgettable gambling adventures to life. All episodes are now streaming only on ESPN+. We get to who Reggie Bush wants to be the next coach of USC in 1 minute. Right now, Henry in California is up next on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Henry, what's up, big dog?
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment about you brought up Aaron Rodgers' popularity is declining. And I don't know if you noticed or not last night, but after the game, you know, all the players were kind of giving him a wide berth when everybody goes up to each other to say what's up from both teams and all the coaches. And Aaron Rodgers was just kind of standing there. Twice I saw that. And on the second time, you know, he was just kind of standing there on his own. And, you know, he was the one who went and walked up to other guys to go talk. It kind of seems like no one wants to hang out with them.
I mean, it's reading into the situation. I don't know that I would go that far, but I think it's interesting body language that you noticed. I think it's – there's been no secret that Aaron Rodgers has never been the most popular guy around the league, but most of his teammates – I've been pretty good with playing with him. It's just he does rub some people the wrong way. And that's not surprising at all. How about this from Reggie Bush? The USC Heisman Trophy winner said this to Fox Sports about who the next head coach of the Trojans should be. Quote, "I do believe there is a coach out there that can help restore USC to its greatness. I believe Deion Sanders can be that person. When you think about what he's done at Jackson State right now, Jackson State has the number 55 recruiting class in the nation. They're one ahead of Kansas State, which has a significantly much larger budget than Jackson State does. But what does that tell you? That tells you that Deion knows how to recruit." End quote. It is an interesting idea, but I have to tell you, Deion as a head coach, to me, is very, very interesting because I see all of the allure to it. I do believe there's a commitment level for Deion in doing what he is doing with the HBCU at Jackson State, and I think he's doing some really important work there, and I give him credit for that. When I see former players go into coaching, you have to be willing to take on that next level of commitment when it's college coaching. Now, he's got that at Jackson State, right? But that's not USC. He can still live somewhat in as much anonymity as he's capable of living in at Jackson State versus USC. You are out all the time dealing with donors, dealing with the media, dealing with so many peripheral things in those big-time jobs that you don't necessarily want to be dealing with. Yes, Deion can recruit, but what recruits the most for Deion Sanders? The fact that he's Deion Sanders. Is that going to work at a place like USC? Or is it going to be constantly getting on a plane and making phone calls at the end of a night at what's going to be a 15, 16, 17-hour day? I don't know what the days look like at Jackson State. I don't know what they look like at the 1AA or FCS level. But in seeing what they look like on the FBS level, this is what we're talking about. Does Deion Sanders want that? If he does, and he's that guy, go after it, man. Deion in LA, that would be an amazing combination. But Deion has always enjoyed being Deion Sanders. I think going after a job, like if that was a possibility for him at USC, you just have to have that full understanding of everything that is involved there versus where you are right now. He's got a chance to do an awful lot of good where he is. If you're looking for that next challenge already after just 1 year and what were they, 4-3 in the spring? And yes, he's recruiting exceptionally well because he's prime time. If you're ready to move on from that already, I think you were probably getting into it for the reason of being in that high-profile position again anyway, as opposed to what the actual help is. Now, there's been no suggestion that this is going to happen or that he has even interest in it. But boy, it is a fascinating thing to think about. I don't know if you want all that smoke.